Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
Friends, always joy to be with you. Good to be worshipping the Lord and great to bring a word to us tonight to encourage us. And we have been in a mini-series, somewhat interwoven with Christmas and different things, but we've actually had a four-week series out of our mission, which is SHAPE. Hopefully you can see that down there, which is something we wake up and do every day, building a strong, healthy and passionate people living extraordinary lives for Jesus. And those words, strong, healthy, passionate and extraordinary, all build upon each other. And as we think about that, three of our speakers have already brought messages on the first three: strong, healthy and passionate. And tonight, guess what we've got? Got the best one that there is. It's extraordinary. And so we're going to look at that together. And we're really asking two questions tonight. Here's the first question I want us to really wrestle with and think about. What does an extraordinary disciple of Jesus look like? What does an extraordinary disciple of Jesus look like? And the second question that goes with this: how does God view the word extraordinary when it comes to the relationship of the Christian life? Really important questions. Now, when I think of these questions and I think of that word extraordinary, I actually like the word. I really love that word. I think there's a wow factor about that word. It's a brilliant word. But then when you think of the opposite words, the antonyms, as they're called, they're hopelessly inadequate. Let me give you the picture here. For example, when you think of the word average, what feelings come to mind? And do you think, wow, you know, most people, when they think of the word average, they're not thinking, I really would love to attain to being average. Most people don't think like that. Or take the word mediocre. Most people are never satisfied in their life to be characterized by mediocrity. And so even thinking of the word ordinary, it's an ordinary word, but might have the appearance of being mundane and boring. But when we think of the word extraordinary, what sort of feelings come to mind? You begin to go, wow, that's actually more exciting. That's something I would like to see, maybe in my life, maybe in my family's life, and so on. So how does God view this word extraordinary? Does he view it the same as us, or are there some differences to the way he views things? Let's just look at some pictures here. Three pictures I want to show you of creation. Here's the first one. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? That's pretty extraordinary. I have no idea where that is, but that's pretty good. The second picture, you'll see that there's some mountains with snow in the background and a desert in the foreground. That's an extraordinary piece of creation. And the next one, Mark, is just a canyon. Just a canyon. That's pretty amazing. That's not average, Mark. That is amazing. I came across this documentary this week. If you ever Google this, it's a really great documentary. It's called Superhuman Geniuses. And it's pretty amazing. And I came across this 13-year-old teenager, and she is an art prodigy. She's got a $1 million business at the age of 13, selling her artwork. And you can just see some of the extraordinary paintings behind. Pretty amazing. And then they call this guy the real Rain Man, who can recall a fact at any point in time, any point in history. And it says on the video, they ask, when did this war, some obscure war, finish? And he'll go to the exact date and the exact year. And what about this? The child scientist who passed O-level chemistry at the age of 7. I don't even know what O-level chemistry is, for a start. But he passed it at age 7. It's pretty good, isn't it? It's pretty huge, those sort of things. Extraordinary. Well, what about these pictures now? This picture of one of the disciples feeding one of the 5,000, or many of the 5,000. Or Jesus' compassion in the next picture for one individual to comfort and encourage We think of the modern day church. I think this next day of the modern day church is extraordinary. When I look at a church and I think about what does it look like, I look at that, an Indian church on the side of the road preaching the gospel with his Bible wide open. Wonderful. And what about this last bit? Extraordinary. Jesus on the cross. And so in John 14, Jesus shares three verses that begin to unpack particularly where this series sort of came from, and I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But he starts with a double emphasis, a double amen. And this, I just want to read these verses from John 14. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done. Say amen to that. It's hard to believe, but that's what he said. And even greater works. Say amen to that. Oh boy, we better unpack that one. Because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it. So that the Son of Man can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. That's a great passage of scripture right there. Those three verses mean a whole lot to us, and I'm going to unpack that. And I remember when we were talking about this with the forming board, which Sam was a part of in those days, we were thinking about those words, and this was a key scripture for this word extraordinary as we looked at that. Now remember, we're seeking to answer, what does an extraordinary disciple look like? You and I are going to be that. There's five aspects that I believe fit the description. Here's the first one. An extraordinary disciple is one that is fully surrendered. You believe that? An extraordinary disciple is one that's fully surrendered. He said, anyone who believes in me. What does it mean to believe? It means actually to fully surrender that Jesus is the Lord. He's the Lord of every part of our life. He's in charge. He's the master. He's the boss. And he becomes the central focus of our lives every day. Now, interestingly, this is an interesting fact, John uses the word believe 85 times in the Gospel of John. And he has a lot to say about believing. And whenever John uses the word believe, and as you look at the whole Gospel of John, it means to be in total submission to Christ. But it actually also has attached to it this outworking of obedience to God's commands. So if you like, this kind of total submission and the demonstration of obedience to Christ's commands, actually like a hand in glove. Now, we're not saved by that. We're saved by grace received through faith alone. But that's always outworked in how we obey God's commands. That's the one, fully surrender. Here's the second one. An extraordinary disciple is one who stands firm in the purposes of God. He said, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done. Now, you all said amen to that before, so you must really believe that. Oh, it's silent now. Do you really believe that? That's what Jesus said. And this is one of these amazing scenes. As we think about the life of Jesus, one of the amazing scenes in the gospel that I just really, really wrestle with, really love, is in John 18, where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's really wrestling with his Father just before the cross and the crucifixion, the very purpose of his Father. And you remember he says, not my will, but your will be done. Amazing. He stands firm and perseveres towards his goal and the purpose of his Father. He becomes the atoning sacrifice for the world. I always look at that scene and I think, right in that moment, right on the eve of the cross, that's extraordinary resolve and determination of our Lord. And so must we, friends. We have to stand firm. No matter what circumstance we're going through, let nothing move us. All right? Love what Paul says. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Can you just say that to someone else? Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. All right? That's what God has called us to. All right, let's keep moving. Number three, an extraordinary disciple exercises great faith. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works. Let's just think for a moment what Jesus did. I mean, that's a monumental task as we think of Jesus. He healed the sick. He called others to repentance and belief in him. He cast out demons. He raised the dead. So he's saying, hey, do the same works that I did. And so on. But on the other, he says, do even greater works than the Son of God. I'd love to be one of those disciples and think, Jesus, hang on a minute. Just repeat that. Are you saying we're going to do greater works than God himself, the Son of God? And I wonder what they must have thought. But remember at the beginning of this passage, Jesus declared a double amen. The disciples of Jesus will do the same works and even greater works than him. So the question is, what are the greater works? Well, here's some insights, I hope. The disciples go on after the resurrection of Jesus to preach to thousands and actually launch the birth of the church. That's a greater work because the church wasn't in operation at that point. And then we think about Jesus, who was confined geographically to Israel, the land of Israel. And so the disciples would actually be the ones who take the gospel and see it spread all over the world, the greater work, so to speak. That's still the case for us today. We still have to preach the gospel all over the world to every single nation. Exercising great faith really does go beyond human limitations. This week, became aware of an absolute legend of a missionary known as Mary Slessor. Ever heard of her? Mary Slessor? What a legend. She lived and ministered between 1848 to 1915. She's from Scotland. That's part of the reason she's a legend. My family's part Scottish, so I have to say that. But she grew up in a place, and I'm quoting some of the blog that I read this week from Chantel Brankenshire is her name, and she said that Mary grew up as the daughter of an alcoholic father, never a promising start for a young person, but her mother was a follower of Jesus, and so Mary used to listen to the mission stories that her mum would read to her. And at age 27, Mary learned that David Livingstone had passed away, and she decided she wanted to continue his work in Africa. And so she began working a place called Calabar, Nigeria, serving the Lord in places where no other European had ever gone before as a single woman. Imagine that. To quote Chantel, she said, Mary faced life-threatening illness and hardship, but Mighty Mary did not once consider giving up. She lived with the Okiong and Efik people for 15 years, learning their language, helping them settle disputes, working tirelessly to educate and overcome superstitions such as twin killing and women's rights. As a result, was able to spread the gospel to areas no other missionary could. She was known to, at different stages, stood up to the African chiefs of the day. What an amazing, courageous lady. That inspires us. As I think of that question, what does an extraordinary disciple look like? I have to say, I look at Mary's life and I think, wow, that's got to be something in that in terms of an extraordinary life. Great faith, great passion and so on. And friends, we too must exercise great faith. God has called us to exercise whopping faith. Can I say that again? Just in case you didn't hear it. He's called us to exercise whopping faith. I reckon you're going to remember that this week, all right? And we're encouraged to do that. So this leads to my next point. Number four, an extraordinary disciple prays bold, spirit-filled prayers. Jesus said, you can ask for anything in my name and I will do it. Yes, ask for me for anything in my name and I will do it. He repeats himself just so he can get the message across. Friends, we believe it's not enough to believe. It's something we've actually got to press into and boldly ask Jesus for things that we need him to do when it comes to his kingdom. Coupled with this, praying in Jesus' name has amazing power to break strongholds and to change any circumstance. This is what John said in his first letter. He said this in verse 14. I think it might be chapter 5. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we've asked of him. That's a wonderful privilege to know, friends, that God hears our prayers. That's not something to be taken for granted, but he hears every prayer, the ones that we might utter out loud, but he hears the prayers of the heart as well. And if they're in accordance to his will, we can quietly and confidently know that we're going to have what we've asked for, and God is going to come through. Our prayers doing his business will be answered. That's a promise. So this week, friends, can I encourage you to pray bold prayers that's beyond your own imagination, your own wild imaginations? Some of you are pretty wild, but go wilder. Did that come out right? All right, hallelujah. All right, but pray wilder prayers. That would be good. All right, number 5, let's finish with this. An extraordinary disciple always delights in bringing glory to Christ. That's our disposition, who in turn brings glory to the Father. He said, you can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. That is the goal of answered prayer, to bring glory to God and to bring glory to his Son. That's our disposition. We want to see Jesus' name honoured. We want to see his name become famous. We want him to take the credit, not us. I think the psalmist said something like, Lord, not to us be the glory, but to you be the glory alone. And that's what we want in all of our ministries. And that's the Father's will for us and disposition for us too. John 15 says, if you remain in me, this idea of intimate dwelling and relationship with the Father, and Jesus, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Of course, that bearing fruit is individual. We should bear fruit in some way in our individual lives, but I always see this much, much more communally, in community, when I think about fruit. Think about the fruit of the Spirit, and I think it's love, joy, peace, and so on. Was written to the Galatian churches in the day. It was written to a community. And Paul was calling that community to live in the fruit of the Spirit and to see that community take fruit. And the fruit of making new disciples together. We do that together. And we teach one another the commands of Jesus. So I want you to take those 5 aspects of an extraordinary disciple away with you. And we're going to just quickly unpack that in a moment, how we might press into that. But is there another word for extraordinary? As we've been talking about that word tonight, is there another word for extraordinary? You know, there's no other word that really comes close or better. Today, that's probably a good word too, unique. Exceptional. Oh, that's pretty good actually. I hadn't thought of that one. I'm going to have to go with the word that I've just come up with, which was bigger, and it's not very good, but bigger, all right? But bigger, because it's simply about this, isn't it, Mark? It's time to pray bigger prayers in Jesus' name. Let's just go real simple on that. It's time to pray bigger prayers in Jesus' name, and God wants us to really press into that. And really, friends, that's the thing on my heart I want to share with you tonight, that actually I feel like God actually wants us to pray bigger prayers this week and not to hold back. You know, sometimes we might come to prayer and it might be a little bit reserved. Can I pray that prayer? Can I not? You're a child of the living God. We can pray it. And it's time to pray those bigger prayers and to get dinkum and get in there and so on. So, yeah, that's my word. Get dinkum. So, we've got those 5 areas. Make sure we're fully surrendered. I believe that you and I can only have the blessing of an extraordinary life in Jesus if we're totally surrendered. We have to surrender to Jesus as Lord of our whole life. It has to be that way. That's the way or the highway, so to speak. The second area is the call that some of us I know are going through some difficult circumstances. Hey, stand firm in the purposes of God. All right? And just encourage you to that end. And maybe God in that standing firm is actually calling you to exercise great faith. That was the third point. Exercising great faith and then praying those bold, spirit-filled prayers. You know, two things about those ideas is that Hebrews 4, and this always blows my mind. Every time I think of Hebrews 4, verse 12 onwards, is that because the high priest has made a way, Jesus Christ, we can then approach what? The throne of grace with great boldness, is what the scripture says and what it emphasizes. Great confidence because Jesus has made a way for us. So it's like we can come into the throne room, we can actually pray those bigger prayers and ask God to do something powerful. And he promises he will give us help and mercy in time of our need. And sometimes, if we're honest with ourselves, we don't know, and I'm saying myself, I don't know how to pray huge spirit-filled prayers. We need the Holy Spirit to do that. And so sometimes I pray, and maybe you pray with me, Lord, would you fill me with your Spirit that I might be able to pray those bold prayers and bigger prayers to see you break through and begin to believe for it, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit empower us. And Lord, when you answer, always delight in bringing glory to Christ. It's all about bringing glory back to him. So, are you ready for the charge this week to pray bigger prayers in Jesus' name? Let's go forth and do it. And as I close tonight, I came across this covenant prayer that many churches, particularly from the Methodist tradition, actually pray it in the first Sunday of a year. And I thought it's a great prayer, which I'll put up in a moment. And it's a big prayer. I will give you the tip. It demands a lot, but it really touches on some of the things we've been talking about tonight and about this idea of extraordinary life in Jesus. When we think about the extraordinary life, we really have to couple it with this other word, passion. Right? So passion is all about sacrifice and surrender when we think about that from the scriptures. So I'd like to finish with this prayer, and I'm going to pray it. And if you feel you can pray with me, go for it. Otherwise, let the words resonate and deepen in your heart. So Lord, we just come before you tonight to pray this prayer. I'm no longer my own but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing and put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. For your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for our night. And Lord, I just want to pray for every person here tonight and every person that might listen online. Would you anoint the week ahead? Would you empower the week ahead? That, Lord, naturally each one of us just begins to pray massive prayers, bigger prayers than what we've ever prayed before. And Lord, we know your name is powerful. And where we need to see breakthrough in our personal lives or our family lives or in our churches, Lord, I just pray this will be a defining week in the kingdom of God over live streams, in our families, all for your glory, I pray, in Jesus' name. We all said, amen. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Live Streams Carawarra message. Have a blessed week.